from ABC News Radio, KMET 1490 in Southern California. This is Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Tyler Jorgensen.
All right. I want to welcome everybody out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. I am your host, Tyler Jorgensen, and today we have the pleasure of chatting with Nathan Hirsch, the founder of FreeUp.com. Thanks for coming out on the show, Nathan.
Tyler, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So we were just talking as we were getting ready for the show. You're coming from the land of Disney World. I'm out here in the land of Disneyland. We're bookending the nation here. And that's what's so great about technology is that we can connect anywhere around the world. And that's a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey too, is right, helping people connect. Have you always been an entrepreneur?
So I've never had a real job. I had internships and summer jobs back in the day. But once I graduated college, I already had this Amazon business, which I'm sure we'll talk about, ready to go. So I've never had any corporate experience. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but there were a lot of failed lemonade stands along the way.
Awesome. You know, failed lemonade stands is a great way to put it. I actually did grow up doing like lemonade stands and doing like paper routes and all of those kind of like typical like things that you hear about. So you said when you graduated college, you said you already had a business that you were planning on starting, or did you start while you were still in school?
So while I was in school, I had this internship at the Firestone Corporation, which was great. And it taught me a lot about customer service and sales and everything that goes with it. And I wanted some extra side money. So I started this textbook business. So at the end of every semester, I would buy people's textbooks. I would hold on to them, sell them at the beginning of next semester. And I created a little referral program, spread the word. And before I knew it, I had lines out the door of people trying to sell me their books, to the point where I actually got a cease and desist letter from the college bookstore to knock it off because I was taking up so much of their business. But through selling these books, I really learned about Amazon and I created my own account. I became obsessed with it. I thought it was so cool that I could run this 24/7 store out of my dorm room. And I started experimenting outside of books. And I tried stuff I was familiar with, computer games, video games, sporting equipment. And I just failed over and over and over. I couldn't get anything to sell besides books. And I knew I wasn't going to sell books forever. I was going to graduate at some point. Right. And I got out of my comfort zone a little bit. And I started experimenting with toys and baby products. And that started to really take off. I found this niche market that was crushing it. And before I knew it, I was selling hundreds of thousands of dollars a month of baby products on Amazon, drop shipping everything because I didn't have a lot of cash to start. I didn't have a warehouse to put anything in. And I was in the back of class all the time just listing baby products. People thought I was crazy. But this business grew. And by the time I graduated, I had a multi-million dollar Amazon business that I was running.
That's awesome. It's funny. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs have a similar story when they're going through school, where they're in school for whatever reason they're there, but it's not like feeding them the way that their mind needs to be fed. And so they end up doing something else. You know, I remember when I was going through my bachelor's program and we had to do like a business plan, you know, just to do a business plan. Well, that made no sense to me. So I did a business plan and actually started the company. And so you kind of did something similar where you got a real business running while everyone else is working on theory. So, yeah. How you got this Amazon business going. How did that kind of play into your journey in the long term? Is that still your main thing?
No, I did that through the end of last year. But I started FreeUp 3 years ago. So as I was running this Amazon business, at some point I had to start hiring people. So I met with an accountant and he advised me to hire people and I didn't listen to him at first and it ended up blowing up on my face when I had way too much to do and my grades started to suffer and I had no social life because all I was doing was working. So I finally committed to hiring people and who was I going to hire? The college kids around me, I quickly realized were not reliable. And these 30-year-old marketing experts, they didn't want to work for some 20-year-old rookie entrepreneur. So I really turned to the remote hiring world, the Upworks, the Fivers, freelancers.coms of the world. And I built what I called my virtual assistant army, people from all around the world that could work different time zones for customer service, for listing. And I became really good at it. Well, when I graduated and I actually moved to Florida, opened up an office, which I got rid of later, but all of a sudden my time went from building this business and the sales and the marketing to just interview after interview after interview, hiring all these people. And one day I had done 8 hours of interviews. I hadn't found one person that I wanted to hire. And I picked up a chair and I threw it against the wall. And I thought there just had to be a better way. And when I couldn't find it, that's when I came up with the idea of Freea.
Awesome. I think hiring virtual assistants, hiring freelancers is a big challenge. I've been, as an entrepreneur, all of those websites, all of those places are places that I've gone on to find people that, help with the business. And one of the things that I've found, if you hire one and then you run, spend a week, you're spending that first week really like an interview almost, right? And so I've had to go and I'll hire two or three people for the same job and hoping that one of them is going to do it the way I really want. How is FreeUp solving that problem for the entrepreneur?
Yeah. So I kind of took everything that I didn't like about the other marketplaces and tweaked them and kept the things I did like. So what we do is we get hundreds of applicants every week, freelancers from around the world. We vet them not only for skill, but for attitude and communication as well. We take the top 1%, we let them in, and then we make them available to clients quickly whenever they need them. So free to sign up, no monthly fee, no minimums, no obligation. We're on your side. It's in our best interest to make sure you get someone you like. But when you need a freelancer, instead of browsing and interviewing 50 people, you just put in a request and we send you one person and you can meet with them. It's almost like Tinder. If you like them, you click hire, swipe left. If you don't, you click pass, swipe right, and you give us feedback and we get you someone else. And then on the back end, we have freelancers from $5 to $75 an hour, US and non-US, 24/7 support. My calendar, my phone number is right on the website. I spend very little time dealing with issues, but I'm available. And then we also added a no turnover guarantee. I'm sure you've had someone quit on you. It's not that much fun. And it's a huge hassle. And we know that. So if someone quits on you for any reason, we cover all replacement costs and get you a new person right away. So that's really what I built FreeUp around, was that pre-vetting, the speed, that customer service, and the protection.
So, and this sounds like an idea born out of a pain that you went through, right? So when you were running your Amazon business, when you started hiring all these people, first of all, why is it so important to have this army of freelancers? Why does an entrepreneur need this team around them?
Yeah, just hiring in general, think about how many $5 million a year solo entrepreneurs there are. There aren't that many. You have to hire people. At some point, you're going to hit a ceiling if you don't, and you're never going to get on beyond that point. If you're asking why you should hire freelancers or remote freelancers around the world, the gig economy is booming right now. It's an $800 billion industry. Over the next 10 years, over 50% of the workforce is going to be remote. So if you're not taking advantage of all the benefits that go with it, you're really missing out, and your competitors are. And the benefits, obviously sometimes there's a price benefit if you hire someone from India or the Philippines, but there's also just, hey, you don't have to hire someone for $150,000 a year full-time anymore. You can hire a specialist for 10 hours a week or whatever you need. You can customize hiring around your business, not to mention you can get people at different time zones. Most people's businesses run 24/7 now. There's so many benefits that outweigh the con of just natural employment that you really have to start taking advantage of it.
So I'm guessing, are you a fan of the 4-hour work week?
Definitely. the mentality of the 4-hour work week though, I could have a 4-hour work week, right? My systems are in place. I was just on vacation for 2 weeks. The business could have ran without me, but I'm not at a point in my life where I want to work 4 hours a week. I love working. I want to expand it. So I almost look at it as, hey, my 4 hours a week are in that day-to-day operations, but the rest of it is on sales. It's on networking. It's on marketing. And that's when I have goals to achieve. And sure, if I have a family down the line and I want to spend more time with them, and that's always that option, but you kind of have to structure it around what do you actually want?
Yeah. So it's which really to me is the main message behind the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, right? It's really the designing the lifestyle you want. The title just came from split testing. Tim was on the show 5 years ago, right? And it was really interesting because that was one of his big takeaways, was that a lot of people are, they get caught up in that you should only do 4 hours. And it's that's not the point. The point is that you could, but the real point is that you're spending your time on the things that are more important and the things that you want to focus on. And so I think, you know, the gig economy and outsourcing allows the business owner to focus on the hire, the things that make the business unique because of that entrepreneur and that person. And I think, you know, what FreeUp is trying to solve or is solving is the ability to spend less energy on the process of finding people and more energy on, you know, really like delegating tasks to those people. What were some of the hurdles that you had to overcome while you were building this?
Yeah, I mean, when we first started, the first reaction we got was, oh, great, another freelance company, another freelance marketplace, right? And you have to kind of go out of your way to say, hey, give us a chance. We're different. Here are our pain points. And I mean, I've always had that customer service background. It really goes back to my internship at Firestone, where they just drove it into your head, where it's not like the customer is always right, but it's in your best interest to make everyone around you happy at all times, whether it is the people you're hiring or the clients or your partners. So that's kind of the mentality that we take. We never hold up our terms of use and we're like, oh, in page 3, section B, like that's just not how we do business. So to us, it was taking a different approach. We felt like the other marketplaces left a lot to be desired, not only on the client side, but on the freelancer side as well. I mean, the freelancers go to those places because they have to, not because they want to. And we know that if we don't treat the freelancers well and give them a reason to stay, they can go to tons of other places. So for us, it was finding that differentiation between us and the other marketplaces, but also just listening to other people's feedback. Hey, what do you like about our software? What do you not like? What do you like about the other marketplaces? What do you like about being in FreeUp? How can we improve? Just last week, we sent out a survey and we're constantly asking for feedback because we want to get better and we want to adjust the business to what people want it to be within reason.
So how do you guys vet people, right? So you mentioned that you have a process where you vet them for attitude and that kind of stuff, but how do you get the freelancers to go through this process and what is the process?
Yeah, so they fill out an application on the site, and if we review the application and we want to meet with them, we reach out and we schedule an interview. So we get over 1,000 applicants a week. We're rejecting 99 out of every 100 applicants. We're pretty strict. And what we're looking for is that skill, attitude, and communication. So when I talk about skill, that doesn't mean that every person has to be a 10 out of 10. There's a time and a place for a 5 out of 10 and a 3 out of 10. What we care about is you're honest about what you can and cannot do. We're not a marketplace for you to experiment with our clients. You should be taking projects that you know you can do at a very high level. With attitude, and this a lot of this comes into that one-on-one interview, we want people who are passionate about what they do. If you hate bookkeeping, like I hate bookkeeping, when I hire a bookkeeper, they have to love bookkeeping as much as I love being an entrepreneur. Those are the kind of people we look for, not the type of people who are just in it for the paycheck. They don't actually care about their clients' businesses. They don't care about the community. We want those really high-level attitude people, and we've all been around those people that you enjoy being around. That's what we look for. And then for the communication, we know how important that is. We know how important that is, even if you're sitting right next to someone, never mind halfway around the world. So we have 15 pages of communication best practices that I wrote myself based on my 8 years of hiring freelancers that they have to memorize and get tested on before they get in. And once they're in, we hold them to these high standards. If they're taking on projects they can't do, if they're not communicating, if me and my team have to chase them down or clients are complaining, we're very quick to remove people. So it's a long process. It's not easy, but a lot of people see the benefit once they get in, when they get access to our client base that has very high expectations.
That's awesome. I think you're right. That is what's missing in the other marketplaces. The other marketplaces are like, hey, we'll connect you. You guys sort it out from there. And there's some accountability and little things like that, but not a vetting process. So let's talk a little bit about the process of an entrepreneur using a freelancer. I think one of the biggest takeaways I got, again, I'm going to go back to the 4-hour work week where I really first learned about outsourcing and freelancing, was whatever you have grows when you delegate. So you got to eliminate before you delegate. If it's a great system, it gets even better when you outsource it. If it's a bad system, it gets even worse when you outsource it. So what are some of like the golden rules that you guys at FreeUp say, hey, entrepreneur, it's time for you to outsource. Here's what you need to do.
So a lot of entrepreneurs, they fall into this trap. They've made some bad hires. It's taken up a lot of time. Finally, they come across this person they really like. So what do? They load them up with everything. And that person now controls your entire business. If they get sick, if they quit, it can set your business back months. And I had that happen to me, and I'm lucky that happened to me in year one, and not year seven, where I put my eggs in one basket. I hired someone for 6 months. I trained them. I even had one supplier, so I really had all my eggs in one basket. I took my first vacation in over a year, and on the same day, the first day of my vacation, the supplier dropped me and the employee quit on me. And it just started over. It's 6 months of your life down the drain. But it was a very important lesson to learn as a young entrepreneur. And I'm always encouraging people to make those changes. It could be as simple as, hey, instead of hiring one customer service rep 50 hours a week, hire two people 25 hours a week. Have them cover for each other. Have them have a backup so that the second they're sick, you're not thrown back into customer service. Just having that mentality where anyone can quit at any given time is incredibly important. And then when you get people that are doing a lot that can quickly learn and take on more tasks, you treat them well and you keep them around.
Absolutely. I think that absolutely helped me, right? The first time that instead of hiring one person to help with some important tasks, I hired a team, right? Or, you know, three or four people that could, you know, rotate through the tasks, allowed us to move a lot faster, allowed us to scale a lot faster. What about, like, I really like that, by the way. I think being able to, like, instead of having one person overloaded with 50 hours to going to at 25, it's really smart. Do you find that freelancers, are they like bummed, right, that they're not getting as much work from one place? Do freelancers like being diversified as well?
Yeah. So I was just going to flip that before you said it. I mean, if you look at it like traditional employment, you have one employer, and if they fire you, that's it. Your revenue stream's gone. From their side, it's better for them to have multiple clients and even old clients they can go back to when one project falls off. So from their mind, yes, everyone wants that great paying, full-time, long-term job. And if it's in front of them, a lot of times they'll take it. But in the more reality where you have startups and large businesses and medium-sized businesses and projects and coming and going, you want to have a diversified client base. And it really depends on the person more than anyone else. I can't speak for any freelancer out there, right. But I would say most freelancers, they'd rather have two clients at 20 hours a week each, because what happens if that other one drops off?
So it makes sense. So the diversification is a smart strategy from both sides of the coin. So, you know, we've gone through a couple of topics. I mean, obviously freeup.com is the main thing. And as you've been building that, like, how have you followed your own advice as you're building that? So how have you used freelancers? How have you partnered up? And, you know, what lessons, you know, do you share from that growth?
Yeah. So here's what's cool. We did $1 million in the first year, $5 million last year. Our run rate is around $10 million right now. We have no office. We have no employees. We only hire freelancers from within the marketplace, the same freelancers that are available to our clients. So our Facebook ad is run by a top US consultant that a lot of our clients use. My assistants that monitor my Skype and email 24/7 and make sure everything's cleared out before I wake up, they're in the Philippines. Same people that other people could have hired before I locked them up full time. So these freelancers, you can build a business entirely with freelancers. I know it's possible and I know what people are missing out on. And I've seen clients who they'll hire a freelancer and they spend 5 hours and maybe they spend, I don't know, 25, 50 bucks. And it just doesn't work out in the first 5 hours. And they're like, that's it. I give up. I'm going back to doing it myself. It's just easier that way. And in my mind, and I'll tell them this directly, you're not getting the point. Even if you don't use my service, you have to invest in people. You have to at least learn something from that experience, even if it's 100% the freelancer's fault. I mean, you have to look at it as money that you're investing in. Sometimes you lose money on investments, but long-term that investment is going to pay off.
Yeah. I think the common thing that I hear from my team, from other entrepreneurs is, man, the amount of time it's going to take me to teach somebody else how to do it, I could have already just been done. And my thing is like, yeah, but that's only once, you know? So what do you say? I mean, do you hear that sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, it's all about getting hours in your day back. And I didn't just wake up one day and hire my 40 person team. I figured out, hey, how do I get 1 hour of my day back, 2 hours? How do I get 10 hours of my week back? And I build up from there. And a lot of it is doing low risk, high reward situations. And if you're constantly doing that as a startup, you're going to get great results. A good example of that is I build a Filipino lead generation team. It's costing $25-$50 a day. I hire someone for $200 a month to run my Instagram account. Same thing for Twitter. And I'm doing all these different things that can grow my business. And what's the worst case scenario? I spend $500 and I pull back and I invest that money into something else. But what's the best case scenario? My Instagram account takes off. I start getting clients from it, which has already happened. And it's one less thing that I have to do and another avenue of potential revenue. So you have to be focused on those low risk, high reward situations, which freelancing allows you to do.
When is it right to have a partner or a senior employee like in-house, right? Even if that's remote, as opposed to a contractor or freelancer?
It's a great question. And I'm actually trying to push the limit on that right now, because I've had people tell me, hey, once you get to 5 million, you got to start hiring some internal employees. And now we're at 10. And they're like, hey, before you get to 15, you're gonna have to hire. And maybe there is a point. Maybe I reach, once I get to 12, it's like, okay, I can't do it anymore with freelancers. But from right now, I'm trying to push the limit and really show people that it can be done. And that old way of employment is not necessary. And I'm sure, I mean, we have some clients who absolutely need it. They have a warehouse, they need warehouse staff. You can't hire a remote person for that. So there is some reasonable logic within that. But at the same time, the majority of the stuff, even if you're a brick and mortar store, can get done remotely.
That's interesting. And I think it's just a mind shift, right, that has to happen, where people have to understand we are in a global economy. We are in a gig economy, right, where the things that we used to hire in-house, a massive amount of it can be done. And I think all of us as entrepreneurs have to push that envelope a little bit. And I really like what you said about it's all about getting an hour, you know, getting hours back and start with one, right? Where can you free up one more hour? And, you know, I think, is that where free up comes from?
Yeah, it's all about freeing up your time. That's what it's all about.
And so I'm looking through some of like the questions that you sent over. But really, like, to me, it's about this whole thing for you and what you guys are doing with FreeUp. You know, it's about the business, like, you're passionate about it, right? You feel that this is a shift that has to happen. What do you see the future of the gig economy?
I mean, unless something crazy happens, which you can never predict, it's only going in the direction of remote. Even if you want to take traditional employment, I was just visiting my friend in New York and his company allowed him to work 3 days remote from home every day. And 5 years ago, that company wouldn't have even considered it. But they looked at it as, hey, maybe we can pay this guy a little bit less, not have him come in every day. It's good for him. He saves gas money. He can work out of his pajamas. I would even argue that you can be more productive working remote. I know I am. So I think as companies continue to realize all the cons that come with making someone stuck in an office for 10 hours a day and how really unproductive that can be, I think we're going to see it go more and more and more towards the remote. And I think business owners, at least the smart ones that are kind of thinking out of the box, have already started to realize that and are adjusting accordingly.
There was a major corporation that one CEO had basically moved almost the entire company remote. And then they had a changing of the guards and the next CEO brought everyone back in. And when asked why, there was no metrics, there was no like logic. It was simply, I'm more comfortable being able to see everybody. And I thought it was so fascinating because it was just simply that person's limitation to understanding what was there. Even though like costs went up and productivity decreased, that one manager's more, that comfort, right, was positioned. So I think as we see more and more people growing up and kind of in their business careers being more comfortable with remote working and with this process, I think we're just going to continue to see growth in the acceptance of it. And I think that that's going to benefit. I think it used to be seen as a negative, right? Oh, well, you know, you're paying freelancers less than you'd pay an employee. But now people are realizing, but you know, I can have three or four contracts instead of one. So they're starting to find those benefits on both sides. What's the future for FreeUp?
Yeah. And off of that, I mean, we have freelancers that make $150,000 a year plus off the marketplace. It's not all $5 an hour people. So, right. I mean, the future of FreeUp in terms of, I mean, I have no plans of selling it. stuff like that can always change, always open to offers and stuff like that. But I'm very focused on growing this thing. A lot of people, they talk about the why in the business, right? With the Amazon business, it was fun. It was exciting. I made a lot of money, but what was the why? I'm not passionate about baby products at the end of the day. But with FreeUp, I mean, I get to help clients from all over the world. I get to go on podcasts and share the message. I get to meet with freelancers when I travel and they show me their cars, their houses, things that we've been able to help them with. And we paid out over $3 million to freelancers last year. So it's been really cool being able to help all these people. And I almost feel like I work for them. I'm going to battle every day for them to grow this thing. And it's a lot of fun. It's an incredible community that I'm passionate about. And I'm excited to see how far we can push this thing.
That's awesome. So to me, you know, we talked about lifestyle design. We talked about freeing up your time, right? Business is about, you know, doing things that you're excited about and passionate about, but it's about creating the lifestyle that you want. So I was asked this question, what's one major item on your bucket list? You know, not a business goal, not that kind of thing, but what's one personal bucket list item on that you're going to do in the next year?
Ooh, I'm going to do in the next year. That's a good one. This year, I checked off so much stuff. I went to the Philippines for the first time. I've been traveling and going to conferences. I'll say in the next 2 years, so I just bought a condo. I want to get into real estate because I think real estate's pretty fun. So I want to rent out the condo that I just bought and upgrade to a nicer condo. And that's something that hopefully FreeUp allows me to do. So that's a personal goal that I've had.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's so funny when you kind of hit that momentum phase of growth and thing, you're hitting so many bucket list items or checklist items that sometimes we forget to set those personal goals again. Right. And so we often are writing down and setting our business goals because as entrepreneurs, they merge together so much, the business and the personal part of it all. But I think it's important to kind of keep that separated too, because then all of a sudden our identity is if your identity is FreeUp and you sell it, then it's like, well, what is Nathan going to do?
It's so true, right? And I think it's just so hard for me to be like, oh, like my personal goal is to like go to China and climb the Great Wall. You know, it's like, okay, if I want to do that, the only thing stopping me is a few thousand dollars. To me, that's not really necessarily a goal. It's just something that I'm going to do it if I want to do it. It's a fun thing to kind of check off the list and experience. And I mean, I just got back from Seattle. I just did a little tourist thing in New York City. Part of the cool thing about being remote is you can be anywhere at any time and I can be working and no one says anything or knows and doesn't really change anything. So it's almost like a perk more than a goal, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah. And I think I don't really talk about travel and those kind of things as goals, because I agree. It's really just, do you want to do it and then set things in motion, right? But I think if we forget to think about it, sometimes things move by. But it sounds like you're doing awesome things. Sounds like freeup.com is a place where really every entrepreneur and freelancer needs to check out and visit. What's that one last piece of advice that you'd give a budding entrepreneur?
Yeah, last piece of advice. So know what you want. If you don't know what you're looking for, it's going to be very hard to find it. Do you need a top level consultant? Do you need someone for 10 hours a week or to work every morning? Do you need someone full time or in-house? If you can't really identify what your perfect person looks like, you're never going to find it on my platform or anyone else's. You really have to spend some time upfront figuring out what you're looking for.
Awesome. I totally agree. The first step in all of our processes within my company is defined. Right? Until you define either the goal or the task or the scope or anything, can't move forward. So Nathan, really appreciate you coming out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. For all my listeners out there, please go check out Nathan at freeup.com. And it's your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with Tyler Jorgensen. Please make sure to subscribe so you're first to hear new interviews and episodes. If you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to visit our online dojo at bizninja.com to claim your reward for listening to the show.